Welcome to Cryptic Chronicles, a show all about everything weird, mysterious, and dark in the world. Today on the show, we're going to talk about serial killers, and I'm going to be joined by Dr. Dingus, as well as Malachor 5. They requested to go by those tags, and trust me, they are some pretty decent people, but today's topic is not so decent. What is it that fascinates people about serial killers? They seem to be a big part of culture from countries around the world, with their presence here in America being prominent in the entertainment industry as well. The media has even created celebrity monsters on several occasions by hyping them up in highly stylized and dramatized coverage that draws the attention of the masses. Perhaps this is an echo of humanity's macabre fascination of death from our uncivilized past. Public executions used to be entertainment for entire communities, with almost all coming to attend and look at the horror playing out before them with awe. It was a form of entertainment, and it was casually accepted by everyone with no sense of depravity found in the enjoyment of watching other humans suffer and die. In any case, our fascination with serial killers reveals a darker nature, hidden from our collective conscious minds. The serial killer is one of us. They are born from our society, and just like the homeless population, they are a mirror of the darker parts of human nature present in all cultures. People tend to think that they are separate from others, but we are much more the creations of the collective than most would care to admit. Now, safe to say, the topics of this episode are going to get very dark and disturbing on multiple levels. So beware. If you got a weak stomach, or you don't care for dark stuff that could be highly disturbing, just skip this episode right now. It's not for you. And Dr. Dingus may be a little bit rough around the edges, more so than you're used to with my episodes. He's a little bit more rugged and uncensored, and may just not be the kind of style that you normally get from me. Still a fascinating guy to talk to, though. And Malachor, as always, is just a wonderful person all around that I always love engaging with. In any case, let's just hop right into it, shall we? I'm your host, Tim Hacker, and you're listening to Cryptic Chronicles.
This is the way.
This is the way.
These entities, they would congregate.
Now is the time to take
Let's begin then, shall we, Dr. Dingus, because that's what you want to be called.
Yes, yes, we shall, Mr. Chronicles, Mr. Chronic.
So today we're going to talk about serial killers, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. And I guess, we're on that topic. What do you want to know about them? Are we talking about them as a thing that exists? Because they do exist a lot of the time.
I was just thinking like a general conversation.
Okay. Well, to begin with, they're very scary.
Yeah, and they're everywhere. Like what? Like 1 in 10 people is a sociopath?
Right. So it's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's also interesting because anybody can be a serial killer regardless of what we consider their defects to be. Now, while it's common for serial killers to be antisocial, be psychopathic, not always. Some of them could pass for reasonable human beings. Most of the time.
Yeah, like a lot of them, especially sociopaths, are very charismatic.
Right. Well, there's also the distinctions that you could, that some people draw between sociopaths and psychopaths. But the thing about the serial killer that I think is most fascinating and important to realize is that it could be anybody, and that anybody has the capacity to turn into one of these people. And a lot of the people who wound up spending their lives becoming infamous for heinous acts of murder, torture, and sexual assault, didn't begin their lives so murder, torture, and sexual assaulty.
Okay, so you don't think that serial killers are made. You think that serial killers are just born and like anybody can be a serial killer?
Essentially. You could have propensities that lead you to become one, but ultimately, like anything else, it's a human choice that you made, you know?
Like what did Bundy say? Bundy said that everyone, or like he's one of the worst serial killers ever, and he's just a normal dude.
Okay, yeah, Bundy was one of the worst ones ever. I got him confused with Son of Sam for a second.
Well,
the
he
Son
said,
of Sam was kind of a puss.
Yeah, that guy was he was a total cuck.
He was, dude. But he did have a good taste in firearm. He did. But yes. Oh,
go ahead.
What did you say about Bundy again? I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just saying that one of the things that he would say to people during interviews is that he would say, there's no reason why I became a serial killer. I have a good family. I had a great life. Everything was good for me. There was nothing that made me. I just am. Hey, Mal.
Yeah, who is it?
This is Dr. Dingus and Cryptic Chronicles talking about serial killers.
Yeah, we're talking about serial murderers. I say the long way because I'm fucking bitch.
So what Bundy was saying basically is, like, there's what's frightened a lot of people was that there's no reason why he became a serial killer. He just was and
right.
did what he wanted.
But that doesn't prevent it from that being a choice that he made at the same time. At any point, somebody can elect to or not to kill. And from that point, it's a matter of the justifications they make for doing so. You know?
Yeah.
On some level, most people would have a justification. The most fascinating one to me is because he felt no need to justify it. Or at least he was under that, he was under the assumption that he was not justifying it and yet had built up an entire life philosophy around why he kills, why he should kill. It was Mr. Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, had some interesting opinions on evil.
Yeah, he was a Satanist straight up, right?
Right. You could say that he was trying to embody that adversarial and destructive tendency. And
yeah,
in a way, that was his form of self-gratification.
By the way, listeners, this is Mal that just joined us and popped in. Mal, welcome. Malachor.
Didn't know I was interrupting.
Oh, you're not interrupting. We're just having a conversation. This is Malachor 5. Is that what you want to go by?
Sure.
We're just having a convo about serial killers. You want to join in?
I don't think Richard Ramirez was like a card-carrying member of the Satanic Church, but a self-proclaimed Satanist.
Yeah, he was like a literal Satanist, not one of the people who... Because, Satanists, they don't really believe in Satan the way people think that they do. This dude was like a literal Satanist.
A theistic Satanist.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I'm just kind of here to talk shit about Richard Kuklinski at some point. But the guy was fascinating because if you go through all of his interviews, he breaks down in very simple terms that he's just an evil dude.
Yeah, totally. So, Mal, what do you think? Do you think that serial killers are born or are they made?
Well, of course, both.
I think both, yeah.
But I think made comes first.
Okay,
they're like born that way first.
Interestingly enough, this is a phenomenon that occurs in the military. And it's essentially the idea that some people, about 2% of the population, I think, are born, quote, natural born killers. And they get this definition, this number, from the amount of people that they bring into the military. These are people who presumably signed up to be shooting guns at people and throwing bombs and doing all that kind of cool, sweet ass shit. And amongst those, the vast, vast majority of recruits, even put into their first combat situations, will not shoot to kill. The vast majority of ammunition expended in a war is simply cover fire or suppressing fire. Only a small, like, single-digit percentage of all new recruits will shoot to kill their first time without being forced by violence.
That's a phenomenon that happens with firing squads as well.
Right. That's why only one of them gets the real bullet.
Mm-hmm.
At least in Texas. I don't know about the rest of America, but in Texas, they all have a blank except for the one guy that doesn't.
Yeah, and also, like, during like World War II, World War I, it was the same thing. Like, a lot of people wouldn't just miss on purpose, even if there wasn't, like, one dude with a real bullet. They all had real bullets, but most of them would just miss on purpose.
Right. So yes, it is both. There's a percentage of the population that just likes to kill shit.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of like me and that raccoon. I don't know why I gotta kill it, but I'm gonna get that motherfucker.
So what do you think it is about serial killers that like really fascinate so many people?
You know, I used to have an answer for this, but after doing body removal for a while, I don't know anymore.
Like, why do we make these celebrities of serial killers? And we like have all these documentaries. Like, that's one of the most popular topics of documentaries that people watch. Why?
There's just a certain portion of people that are always going to be fascinated with either their own death or weirder enough, you'll see this like Tumblr bitches and shit. Is Tumblr even still around?
I think that they allowed porn back. So yeah, I think it's kind of doing all right now.
Okay. All right.
Not great. They it's never going to recover, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's not it dead like it used to be.
But you know, you've got the subset of the population that's fascinated by death, and largely that comes from being fascinated with their own death, you know? Those would be the people who ask me all sorts of questions about my job and just, like, weird details and shit. And then on top of that, you also have, like, these certain subsets of people who just, for whatever reason, get obsessed with characters that they think that they could fix.
Oh, yeah, you know? That's a weird phenomenon, too, how, like, a lot of women just become totally in love and enraptured with serial killers.
I can fix him. I mean, it's even worse now, you know? If you get, like, a mass murderer that's kind of attractive or has, like, the cute mop of curly brown hair, you're fucked, man.
Dude, they sell their hair to these women. Like, they sell clips, their toenail and fingernail clipping, their hair. They buy that stuff. Like, what the hell? Are you still there, Mal? What do you think of that?
I didn't hear the last bit there.
I think it's a cross-dresser buying the toenail clippings. No, it's okay if you're into that. I'm just saying, it's not a woman buying fucking toenail. Statistically speaking, highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just, you know, we are that end comes, and you know,
yeah,
most
but
of us hope we die in our sleep. Some of us want to die in a pipe bomb duel, like myself. And, we definitely don't want to die after having a glass tube smashed inside of our urethra and then getting our jaw caved into the back of our throat with a club. Mr. Bundy? No, that wasn't Bundy. That was Gacy. Pogo the Clown. So yeah, I don't know. Like, even myself, I like hearing about that shit. That's awful.
I actually just watched a documentary on that kind of stuff, is the Pogo the Clown stuff. So, what is your, when thinking about serial killers, what are the most fascinating ones to you? Like some of the ones you could just name offhand.
Right. So immediately, my personal favorite, to me, he is the goat. He's the goated murderer, is Mr. Richard Kuklinski, the Iceman. To me, he's one of the most fascinating characters in true crime, in part because he kind of went full circle from He did like the opposite of what Ed Kemper did, where he put on a reformed face and posed for the camera just for show, for attention. Richard Kuklinski went full circle from like meek abused child to I'm capable of killing people and getting away with it, to becoming the most prolific murderer of at least the past 100 years. It's possible that he has a body count in the 300s, if he's to be believed. We know it's definitely over 50.
Wasn't he a hitman?
He was, but he could also be argued to be a serial killer because the amount of homeless people he would go walking up and down just a street in Manhattan, and then like he would provoke homeless people and the homeless people would get mad, and then he would use that as an excuse to stab them in the chest. Like, he had this fucking...
What the hell, dude?
He was a pretty hardcore dude, I guess you could say. Kind of,
so he just liked killing.
Wacky, zany guy. Yeah, but it's why he liked killing. The guy, like, you can... When you follow his past, you can see that the guy just grew up with no fucking power. He watched his brother get murdered by his father before his eyes. His dad just kept punching the kid in the back of the head till he died. You know? His dad was like extremely abusive, and
damn, dude,
he grew up in tenement housing. What's up?
That's messed up.
Yeah, it's kind of hardcore, pretty wacky dude. You know, and like he just had everything fucking stacked against him. And then one day after a bully beat him up, he decided that he had enough. And he got a wooden clothes pole and hid in the closet in that bully's house until the bully came around the corner. He just beat him with it. And then he kept beating him. And he just kept hitting him until the guy wasn't breathing anymore, he noticed at the end, right? But the interesting thing about Richard Kuklinski is, like, after that one incident where he felt that was how he got power. That was how he expressed agency in the world. He was a deeply broken person. I would say that's one person who's probably had other career options than serial murderer, but that's just kind of where he went. And the funny thing about him is, after all that time, he gets arrested, right? He gets put on, he gets put on medications, and, you know, his daughter comes to see him in prison every day. And at the end, he almost starts to express a little bit of regret for what he did. He's quoted as saying, "I'd rather be known as the nice man than the ice man."
Yeah, that's weird. So he kind of like had a change of heart a little bit.
What's up?
Kind of had a little bit of a change of heart a little bit.
Right. Like, there's, over the course of his particular story, there are moments where he like slowly begins to, chips in the facade begin to appear, and he has an emotional breakdown.
Look at Mal.
I think he had more of a mask of insanity than a mask of sanity. It's like he killed people to confirm his own tough guy self-image so he wouldn't have to face the facts.
Yeah,
so there's lots of reasons somebody wind up that way.
He had kind of a twisted psyche.
Oh yeah, you got to. You murder over 200 people for sure. And okay, if we're going to talk about Jesus Christ.
What?
Okay, so, you know, people who have favorite serial killers and shit, you know, there's also just the thing about methods, about how they conducted their business. My favorite thing about Richard Kuklinski was he was a fucking professional. And he had, at the height of his career, he had devised just a very simple, probably the best way to kill anybody in history trick. He would mix dimethyl sulfoxide, DMSO. It's something that is medically used to allow any substance to permeate the skin without damaging it.
I know what that is.
Yep. You mix that up with a little... He'd go on a dance floor, he'd go into a bar and just spill it on somebody. And then he would have it mixed up perfectly to make it look like they just had a fucking random heart attack.
What a monster. Hey, Mal, what about you? Are you there?
I mean...
Do you have any specific serial killer that fascinates you?
Well, yeah, the Clinton crime family.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, those are serial killers. We don't know which one they used. It could have been Kuklinski, in all honesty.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you for real? Do you have like one of the real one?
As gross as it sounds, Robert Fish.
Oh,
who's
God.
That?
He's like a like a necrophilic, pedophilic serial killer from the early 1900s or late 1800s.
Oh, yikes. So he's like old school, like H.H. Holmes, kind of.
Yeah,
he's
a boogeyman.
Werewolf.
Yeah, they called him the Gray Man, and he would tempt kids with candy and like, oh, I got toys and stuff. And in a number of his cases, he wrote letters back to the parents about how he looked and what parts of the body he liked a child to eat.
He fancied the buttocks.
The buttocks of a boy. And he said the way that he cooked a particular one was the best thing he had ever eaten in his whole life.
What a sick bastard.
Yeah.
I mean, he would go as far as to like, I'm sorry.
Not my favorite, but like that's like an anime villain. Like,
yeah, dude. That's like, something out of a nightmare.
He's
gonna
a bit of a character.
You into 1,000 pieces.
All right, the dude was just a fucking like an actual, in the words of one of those motherfuckers from last podcast on the left, a rip roaring maniac.
Yeah, for real. Like the definition, a maniac.
Jack the Ripper ain't got shit on that. Nuh-uh. Like, he probably used his bare hands. And the thing is, like, these letters he wrote back to the family, it wasn't like he was just describing it. He would personally personally insult them along the way. And then describe like sex acts he performed and shit.
Oh man, that's so sadistic.
To be as fucked as possible for the family. Oftentimes he would befriend the family before committing his crimes, so they would kind of, you know, so they would trust him. They'd think, oh, he's taking the kid, taking care of him for a few days, or they're going on a hunting trip or some shit. And, it was, in a manner of speaking, they did go on a hunting trip.
Dude, that is so
dark. Mr. Fish, ladies and gentlemen.
One thing you can invest in that does not lose value is gold and silver. There is no better place to go for financial security than Goldco, rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. Get the free 2023 Gold IRA kit Americans are using to protect their retirement savings. Get your free 2023 Gold IRA kit at goldcogoldkit.com. Goldco is a leader in the precious metals industry. From precious metals IRA to direct purchases of precious metal coins and bars, we partner with individuals seeking to diversify and safely grow their retirement portfolios. Allow Goldco to make your gold and silver investments easy, seamless, and secure. Our investment is in good hands. Chuck Norris, what? Oh, I'm recording.
$30 off weed with code PODCAST? Did someone say $30 off weed with code PODCAST? Amuse delivers over 500 high-quality cannabis products from the Bay Area brands you love at everyday low prices. You can also rest assured that everything will be up to your high standards. So what are you waiting for? Start shopping now at Amuse.com. Use promo code PODCAST to save $30 off your next order. That's AMUSE.com.
Is your brain always hungry? Do you have a mental appetite that often goes unsated? You may be suffering from hungry brain syndrome, a debilitating and sometimes life-threatening condition experienced by humans who require double, sometimes even quadruple, the amount of mental nutrition needed to sustain the general population. But now there's help. For years, our dedicated team of world-class researchers have been developing a thicker, more nutrient-dense podcast specifically for sufferers of hungry brain syndrome. And now we want to share it with you. All you have to do is search for our podcast, The Whole Rabbit, in your podcast player of choice, and select from one of our delicious flavors, like Slovenian Succubi, Gnosticism, or Ancient Egypt. It's no wonder The Whole Rabbit is the most recommended treatment for hungry brain syndrome on the market. So what are you waiting for? Try The Whole Rabbit today. Do not listen while deep sea diving. Side effects may include eating carrots and shooting lasers.
So did you know that the FBI has roughly three types of serial killers? The medical killer, the organized killer, which is actually the majority of serial killers, they fall under that, and then the disorganized killer.
This must have changed recently, because last I heard there was the missionary killer, there was
those are subclasses.
The displacement killer.
Yep, the power and control, the visionary, the hedonistic, all of those are subclasses of those three types of serial killers.
Right, okay. Yeah, so I guess Mr. Fish would have been closer to the disorganized category, would you say?
That's
didn't have to be organized.
Well, some of them, sometimes they're both. But if he just did it on a whim and he didn't really have it planned, then he's the disorganized killer.
He kind of planned it. There was a plan. He had a method.
He's an organized killer.
Yeah.
And then he had a house. If there's a plan, he's an organized killer. Yeah.
There's really not, you don't really hear a whole lot about the disorganized killers. I mean, I don't know. These days, you'd almost consider them just be like spree killers for the most part, as school shooters and shit.
Yeah, what would be,
a mass murderer, which is different.
That's de- yeah,
well, the
that's
the funny killer. Thing about the disorganized killer is they're actually harder to catch than the organized killer.
Yeah, there's no motive at all.
Exactly.
There's no motive. There's no modus operandi.
They don't leave behind evidence. Well, they do, but it's not connected to anything.
Like, when people get arrested for murder and shit, like, to even have viable DNA evidence, they have to know who the fuck's DNA it might be. They always look for close associates, the person who's recently deceased, and for the most part, that's how you do it. So when a serial killer comes up who just does it for pleasure, who the fuck are they? You know? Unless,
yeah, totally.
You know, fortunately, we don't live in China, so they won't search every fucking camera in case you're the kind of guy that maybe likes to take a little pills on a DL in a subway, smoke a little crack in the broom closet, you know? You can still live in America. It's a free country, but they're never going to catch,
What's funny, too, is the disorganized killers, they usually have, like, a lower intelligence than other killers and mostly kind of keep on the, like, on the move.
Okay. Actually, I know of, not by name, but I do know of a couple of these. Because the ones that stay stationary, like, they don't know what to do with the bodies and they tend to just pile up. There's a case in, I can't remember. It was somewhere in Cajun country, somewhere between Houston and the end of Louisiana. So good fucking luck finding what I'm talking about. But the it's just this older black dude who lived in a rundown neighborhood. He would lure in prostitutes and murder them. Simple as that. Except he was found when he lured in one prostitute too many, and that was part of a fucking police undercover sting. And they went inside, and you know, nobody knew where these women were going or that they were even missing. And they went, "What's that fucking horrible smell that's like that kid that never wiped his ass in sixth grade? What is that smell? Why does it smell like the Seinfeld car? Oh, it's dead people." And by the way, saying from experience, that's a smell that dead people can smell like is Seinfeld BO car. In fact, I didn't know what smell they must have been talking about in that episode until I did that removal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The disorganized killers usually have like antisocial behavior. They're the weird ones, you know. They're actually kind of easier. Go on.
They're low functioning, you know. Like you said, they tend to have a low IQ and even just murder out of pure frustration. Ed Gein would be Ed Gein.
No, he was organized. Yeah.
Rather organized, but he was stupid. He was stupid.
Yeah. But their killings are usually just randomly and not really focused on anyone in particular. It's just kind of a wrong place at the wrong time kind of a thing.
That's why there's not many, like, examples that many people tend to think of off the top of their head. It's just not a good story.
Yeah, the organized ones are usually much more interesting.
Right. The only thing that made Son of Sam interesting was that he was an incel.
Yeah.
We could all make fun of
him. I've also heard that there was multiple killers involved in those cases. It wasn't just one guy.
Oh, yeah, huh? I've heard that, too. Like, a lot of people took credit.
It was actually some satanic cult, I've heard from some people. And there's some compelling, leads to go down, some rabbit holes to go down if you look into that.
Yeah, I've read about that. That is interesting.
I kind of quit on Son of Sam when I was 14 and then finally came across the detail that Sam Berkowitz just went like, oh, yeah, and I made it up. That shit about the dog that was made up, I was totally bullshit. History Channel has lied to me again. First the mermaids, and now this shit.
The aliens at night, you know, how like the pyramids are spaceships. What the heck, History Channel? Come on.
Fucking what's that? Everybody's been talking about Ancient Apocalypse recently. I got to check that one out.
Yeah, I love that shit. So what do you think about like the medical killers, though? Those are probably some of the most frightening because they kill for years and years and years.
So when you're talking about medical killers, because I haven't heard of that category, we're talking about like the quote angels of death, you know,
yeah.
People who are in medical settings who just dose people.
Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of them actually. Like, Michael Swango. He was a former physician who was involved in like 60 fatal poisonings of both his patients and his colleagues.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poisoning is pretty cool, and you don't hear about that too much anymore.
It's also Harold Shipman. Dr. Death. I'm sure that you've heard of him. He killed 218 patients.
Death.
Yeah. This guy was killing from 1972 all the way up until 1999.
Oh, no.
Yikes. See, what's scary about these guys is the medical killers usually have extremely long years and years and years of killing. They go completely under the radar. Oh, and you'll be interested in why Dr. Death eventually got arrested. He messed up because he, like a coroner caught him. He was like, what is all this diamorphine in this lady?
Hold up, hang on. My internet got very fucked for a second. Diamorphine is really good. Wait, diamorphine is just heroin, right?
Yeah, it's like something that puts people under and reduces pain and whatnot, I think. But
okay.
He was caught.
I lied.
Originally, what got suspicion was a coroner was like, because he would always push for cremations for the specific reasons, obviously. And right. how he was caught was originally what like got people suspicious was a coroner who was like, why is all this diamorphing in this lady? Like,
this well, the fascinating thing about coroners, too, is that oftentimes they're the only people that have the authority in a county to arrest a sheriff.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
It's when did this case happen?
The Dr. Death?
Yeah. Was within the past 20 years, right?
Yeah. He got arrested in 1999. The coroner caught him in 1998. That's what began the case that led to his arrest, I believe.
Okay. I was just trying to pin it down because at some point, they started sending every unattended death to the coroner for this reason.
Yeah, because coroners can tell if people are killing people in weird ways that are not normal.
Well, coroner pretty much just does the coroner pretty much just does the public facing work. He has a team of people smarter than him to cut the bodies open to actually find out, and then they tell him what to do, and then he goes, "Well, I'm the big boy around here. I'll put you in jail, Mister."
Charles Cullen is another one.
Oh,
a guy named Charles Cullen. He was a nurse, actually. He was arrested in 2003 and committed to prison for killing, I think, 40 people.
Nice.
So these medical killers are pretty scary because they could be helping like your family members, and who knows, they could be anywhere in any hospital.
And consider all the medical malpractice.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of that could be on purpose. Not that they'd ever admit it.
One of the most fascinating categories of the medical killers to me are the angels of death. Which essentially are nurses tend to be like female nurses. It could be male literally, but it's usually female who are not in full on doctor positions. People who just administrate doses of drugs or, you know, maybe fuck the IV tree and shit. And angels of death, similar to say those, people who get very sexually aroused looking at a mildly attractive serial killer, similar to them. They kind of get the savior complex going on.
Yeah.
Oh, I can fix him. Oh, he's suffering so much. I have to end his pain. And it's really just a narcissistic kind of way to grasp at and control people's lives.
Yeah, totally.
And insert yourself into their existence. Like a lot of people murder just to feel significant.
Yeah, it gives them a sense of power and purpose, right? It can be like even spiritual for a lot of serial killers.
Right. And then also on top of that, for a second, you completely dominate that person's existence. You're all that exists to them.
Yeah, what greater feeling of power, right? I mean, if you're sick, but still, it's a feeling of power they can get, especially if they live pathetic lives.
I think it's more important, honestly, in the ingredients that make up a serial killer for them to have narcissistic traits than any other.
Yeah, you know, probably.
So that they think highly enough of themselves that they are okay with destroying other people.
Yeah, and then there's the serial killers that target like specific groups of people too. What was his name? Dahmer. Like Dahmer would only attack gay prostitutes, right?
Dahmer wasn't just prostitutes. Dahmer he would lure essentially young boys. Like by modern standards, we could call Dahmer a child sexual predator.
Except he murdered them in horrifying ways and ate their face.
Yeah, and the thing is, half the time he murdered them on accident. He was trying to make them. For a while, he was very interested in trying to make like this perfectly obedient sex slave,
like a zombie.
Guy.
Yeah, he poured acid in people's ears.
He didn't want them to leave.
He just wanted a friend.
So
pretty much,
he might classify as like one of the disorganized. I feel like he's arguably a case for like a mentally ill individual.
Right. He got most organized after he got rid of the bodies when he decided, like the manner in which he disposed of them was organized. But he would pick just anybody he was attracted to, you know. And he didn't pour the acid in the guy's ear. He actually put a hole in his fucking head first.
Oh, my bad.
The acid slowly ate at this 14-year-old boy's frontal lobe. The cops didn't intervene when they came on scene just because he saw
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
They didn't want to deal with any faggot shit.
Yeah, I remember that now. That's so messed up, dude. Like, he even got to the police, and the police were like, hey, is this guy with you? And Dahmer was like, yeah, bring him back in. So he escaped and got brought back.
It wouldn't have mattered if he escaped anyway, because, it's only a matter of time for that brain goes, man.
Yeah, after you got acid poured in it.
But, he was just like, the dude's fucking theme song was Weird Science. He's an asshole. I hate Oingo Boingo.
And then there is the handcuff man, Robert Lee Bennett. Like, have you heard of him?
Robert Lee who?
Robert Lee Bennett.
No, I haven't. Actually, before we go on to him, I just want to say something, too.
Go on.
I didn't understand how, like, disgusting and repulsive the act of necrophilia was until I stood in a cooler full of dead people. And, like, holy shit.
He's not a crazy killer freak guy. He actually has a job as this kind of a thing. Explain your job real quick.
Yeah, so for a while I was a body removal man. I would go into people's houses, and sad people's houses usually, and take the person that just died and made them sad and take them to the funeral home where they would soon be extorted by funeral professionals who want to sell them a $2,000 casket that costs $200 for us. But I saw a lot of dead people for a while. I kind of wish I was still doing it. But, there is nothing in this world as disgusting as a dead human body, specifically human. We're very wet animals, kind of like sea creatures. Like imagine if you just,
You cut out there. Dingus. Dr. Dingus, you there? Mal, are you there?
I'm here.
We lost Dr. Dingus. Oh, there he is.
We got him back, and then he's gone.
So, well, the messed up thing about Robert Lee Bennett, he's called the Handcuff Man, he would specifically target male prostitutes, and he would light their junk on fire.
My internet's fucked up.
Yeah, you cut out for a sec, but good to have you back.
I know. Yeah, just don't fuck corpses. They're very disgusting.
Oh,
we're like sea creatures. If we are really the worst, most gross corpse of all land animals, in my opinion. If you were to throw a sea anemone on a sidewalk on top of a piece of chewed gum, that's what it would be like. It makes it sound like this.
You are such a character, Dr. Dingus.
Yeah. Don't fuck dead people. They stink really, really bad.
I can imagine. Yeah. Did you hear what I said about the handcuff man?
Yeah, I did hear what you said about the handcuff man. I just wanted to get my anti-necrophilia speech in. Don't do it.
I think that's something we can all agree on.
You are a gross motherfucker if you do.
Yeah. So the handcuff man, he would lure male prostitutes into his car or whatever, and he would say like, hey, I'm doing an experiment for the government. We need to see how much alcohol you can drink. And he would like roofie them. He would trick them into, like, he would get them to drink alcohol somehow, and he would roofie them. And then he would like take them out into a field or something and light their junk on fire, like pour gasoline on it and light them on fire.
Jesus Christ.
It's not hard to convince a bro to drink with you, just saying.
Yeah. I thought that he specifically used the government experiment to see how much you can drink wine. And anybody who falls for that deserves what happens next.
Well, they were prostitutes, and he was like technically hiring them for a job.
That's true.
You know, a lot of people think that it's only female prostitutes who are, because I mean, so many serial killers, they target prostitutes because if you do messed up stuff to them and they survive or whatever, if they go to the cops, it doesn't mean anything. Because even if they do report it to the cops, they're not going to show up for the trial stuff.
No, it's like a lot of them used to prey on gay people because the cops didn't touch the gay shit.
Well, they'll be arrested for doing illegal prostitution. Like, it's like they're damned if they do and damned if they don't kind of a thing. And a lot of people know that female prostitutes are targeted, but they don't know that male prostitutes are targeted just as much. And this is really messed up, like what he would do to guys.
I kind of think it on these terms. Like, there are, of course, like the reasons that we typically think of that anybody would pick a female prostitute over a male prostitute, including just our proclivity not to think about the gay shit. But the thing is, like you could draw a comparison between serial killers' chosen victims and, say, the shit that happens to child molesters in prison. It's not just because people are morally against their crime. It's because nobody will defend them.
Yeah.
Which makes them really easy to take your frustrations.
They're
out
easy targets.
On. It's all it boils down to.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's like orphans.
But the thing is about the handcuff man that you'll find psychologically interesting is that he was impotent.
Love me some orphans. Oh, damn. Impotent.
Yeah. So think about it psychologically.
Orphans.
He would light dudes' junk on fire and like kill them. A lot of them survived, actually. But why would he do this? He was impotent.
Because he didn't have a dick?
Yeah, he couldn't do anything he wanted to do, and it like drove him so psycho that he would light other guys' junk on fire and kill them.
Okay, he at least could have tried like urethral sounding, or
this is back in the 70s. They probably could have fixed him nowadays.
Up his ass.
Well, who knows?
Yeah, that guy was a real dick.
Yeah, you have what I can't have, so I'm gonna make you suffer horrifically and then kill you. Like, what the hell, dude?
That's like. It's almost colorful, you know? I wonder if he ever experimented with the fire, like he put different substances on the dick.
Oh, I'm sure he did. Yeah.
I wonder if he would put, and the thing is, there were specifically sex workers, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That was all he targeted.
That can't just be because of vulnerability. It has to be because they were sexually active on top of
him. He wasn't sexually active.
They were gay.
Yeah, he wasn't, though. He couldn't be, even if he wanted to.
Right. I'm just saying that must have been part of the attraction. Like, you know, there's a lot of ways you really spice that up, too. You can put some copper salts on there and have them lose their dick to a green fire. That's pretty cool. Green
My
fire.
Listeners are not used to somebody like you, but I'm sure they'll find you entertaining.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm being, like, positive.
You said you wanted to wing it, man.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I like it because, like, I'm usually very sanitized. So it's good to have somebody, like, come in here and just fucking throw gears in the wrench and shit.
Talk about a flaming homosexual.
So you're talking about Randy Kraft?
Randy Kraft?
Is that who you're talking about?
No, I was talking about the handcuff killer.
Oh.
The handcuff man, sorry. Robert Lee Bennett.
Oh, okay. No, because I just remembered this other dude would shove shit up dude's ass after he drugged them and some of them died.
Oh, is he a serial killer?
Yeah.
I haven't heard of him.
On accident or on purpose?
On purpose. He would drug them. Pick him up off the highway, and then...
Okay, the way you said it, I thought they died as a result of having something shoved up their ass.
It's a horrible way to die.
No, he'd bludgeon them. He'd rape them.
Bludgeoning is the worst.
Kill them. Some of them died from overdoses, I guess. He'd make them unconscious, and then he'd do stuff to them.
Yeah.
Hey, Mal, what classification of serial killer do you think is the most interesting?
I don't even know the classifications, but...
Oh, there's the medical?
The medical one I do find interesting.
Organized and disorganized. And then there's subcategories in there. Power and control, visionary, mission, hedonistic, artistic. I think there's more too, but I don't know.
God, artistic killer
the
is
artistic
like the
one
most...
I get. I get that one the most. But to answer your question, I think the medical one is the most interesting to me because you learn medical practice to help people. So you kind of make a vow that you're going to use your skills to mend bodies.
Yeah, the Hippocratic Oath.
You contradict that in a different art form of murder, and you're breaking rules or you're breaking your own contract. But I find that like psychologically the most interesting.
Yeah, and also their kill counts are really high usually.
Yeah, it's the one you're probably most likely to get killed by.
Yeah, and they kill for years and years and years. Whereas most serial killers, I can't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, but they only have like a spree of like 4 years on average.
Not Mr. Kuklinski. He made it for like 30 fucking years.
There's always exceptions, just the average.
I was gonna say some of my favorite serial killers in the modern day are probably some of those cartel dudes.
Yeah, the cartel dudes are fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about the Iceman earlier, which was a hitman who was a serial killer.
He was a mafia hitman, but the cartel dudes, I can't remember.
The dudes with the chainsaws.
Yeah. The Scarface.
I can't remember the guy right off the top of my head. He was famous for wearing a white suit. He was born being raised in Palo Mayombe, which is a Cuban Caribbean fusion religion with African and indigenous African religion. I think literally called Moyambe, which meant stick.
Is that the one that's like a mixture of Catholicism in it? And they like kill chickens?
That's potentially a lot.
Yeah, I can't remember the specific name. I think I know what you're talking about, though.
The essential and important thing to note here is that he was chosen and trained by a priest in this school from a young age until he became old enough and well-versed enough, according to this priest, to be kind of inducted into this magical tradition and make what was called an Ngunga. An Ngunga is a iron cauldron that is just a pot that is filled with fucking rot and evil and death. And you fill it up with a bunch of dead shit. The more potent and disgusting the odor of your Ngunga, the stronger it is. And you fill it up with bones for hands.
Uh-oh.
Into the spiritual world.
You cut out for a second there. You're back, though. Never mind.
What was the last thing I said?
When you came back, you were like, it was a thing into the spiritual world. Like, it was only a moment.
But, you know, you would give them, stuff the pot full of sticks on top of all this rot and just nastiness, you know, so that it may communicate. In their religion, they saw these sticks as a sort of, I don't know, you could also see them as an astral neurons.
Hmm.
And, fucking, essentially, the guy started a little cult and got involved in cartel business at the same time and do the kills for him, and he just murdered people and beat them to the fucking Ngunga.
Wait, he would...
Everything went to shit when the cops kicked it over, though.
He threw them into it?
No. He killed them first. And then he put them in there to feed the ghost.
Gross.
Yeah, it's fucking radical. He had a white suit, and it never got dirty.
It sounds almost like a witch bottle. You know, you just throw this
like a witch bottle
concoction at some opponent, and it's like you're fucked.
It's just, you know, it's just some old witchcraft, man.
Yeah, that's some voodoo stuff.
I'm sorry, it's cartel killers are cool, man. There's a recent case of El Pozolero. I can't say it right, but
what's that case?
Well, he was the pozole man. He made soup.
Oh, that sounds gross.
Well, do you remember when I was talking about the ideal method to dispose of a body being warm water and lye?
Yeah.
That's what he did. And he dissolved like literally thousands, possibly tens of thousands of cartel victims into the pozole, into his lye and water mixture. And that was just what he was famous for. He'd dissolve them and then just dump the shit somewhere and crush out the bones and put them in a garden.
Oh, my gosh.
He was really, he's not a serial killer, but he's, you know, he was on my end of the business, which makes me like him a lot. The Pozole Man.
Yeah, the thing about the gangs and the cartel, you know, we know that there's like a whole operation on removal, on, okay, well, these bodies are going to go out onto the bridge so we can show them to the public. We're going to send these hands to the U.S. You know, it's like this like body shops of them shipping out. Like, what do we want people on the outside to think of us? And then they got like real assholes in the dungeon, probably getting, you know, their eyeballs peeled off. You know,
yeesh.
It's some creative networking, I think, in the killing realm that we haven't seen since the Inquisition.
Yeah, just like it's money laundering, you've got body laundering.
Oh man, and then you got buyers, probably.
Oh yeah, totally.
Oh, dude, we were talking about. I got excited. We were talking about the fucking coroner's case earlier, how that's the only way they found Dr. Death, Mr. Death. Mm-hmm. Fucking coroners get involved in some seriously sketchy shit. Sometimes they own their own, every coroner's case to their business or to their business partner's business. But, man, there is like a real legitimate market for body parts. Medical skeletons, just straight fucking organs and tissues and shit. If you
that's
ever go
dark.
To a place that's marked as a quote cremation and donor service, it's a donor service because they'll bury you cheaply or they'll hold a funeral for you cheaply if they let you have certain parts of your body to sell for medical research.
Oh my God.
Some places don't tell you this and just fill up the urn with whatever fucking and ashes they can find as they dispose of the body.
Oh, wow.
In the most economical fashion.
That's messed up.
Yeah, dude, the funeral industry has a lot of crime in it.
I have never heard any of it. That's crazy.
It happened close to you. In California, it was one of the most famous cases.
Don't tell people where I live. No, I'm just kidding. They know.
Well, it's not where you live. It's where you die.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Hey, Mal. Yeah,
learn to swim, assholes.
So you think that the medical killer is the most interesting. Which one do you find the most terrifying, though, out of the three?
Terrifying, and my favorite would be the artist.
So that would probably be an organized killer, then, I think.
Sure.
I hate the artist.
I mean, whichever one just sees it as, like, you being alive isn't pretty, you being dead is beautiful, and then going from there as the canvas, I think that's, like, arguably, like, maybe they're doing something right.
You know who H.H. Holmes is, right? He thought of himself as an artist killer.
Who's an asshole?
I don't know who
H.H. Holmes designed that whole fucking death hotel. You've definitely heard of it before. It had all the hidden rooms. It had gas chambers built into the hotel rooms. It had trap doors and shit. You could pull people into walls and murder.
That's like Dungeons and Dragons. So yeah,
it was, dude.
Cool.
That is, I guess, artistic. He was an architect.
He had like a chute that would just take bodies down to a furnace.
Like Willy Wonka.
Yeah, it was like Willy Wonka. It was like a Home Alone house, but like.
I just pulled up his wiki and they're saying like he said himself he was possessed by Satan.
Yeah, he said that he had the devil in him.
You're not possessed by Satan. You're just acting alongside him.
Yeah, that guy's a trip,
you
man.
You know, you're being him yourself. Satan doesn't possess anybody. He just makes you like him.
I think that they made like a show on him. I can't remember. American Horror Story.
They made a few shows on him.
No, like one of the seasons was on him, but I didn't watch it. I kind of lost interest in that show.
I only liked the season that happened in Louisiana.
Yeah, the early ones are pretty good, but then it just drops off the whole quality, especially specifically the writing quality, just whoop, off a cliff.
Yeah. I think, like, wasn't there even a season that was just, like, totally a rehash of everything that had come before it?
Apocalypse is the season. I've seen people talk about it before.
I hated it.
I never saw it. They said that it, like, jumped the shark, I guess.
You know who else jumped the shark?
Who?
Now I have to think of a serial killer that did something dumb enough to fill this in. Shit.
There are some. You didn't think far enough ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Cryptic Chronicles. The show is sponsored by Blueberry, and if you're interested in starting your own podcast, use our link. We'll even give your podcast a shout out. Go to crypticchroniclespodcast.com and click on the Blueberry link on the homepage. By doing so, you'll be helping the show. Blueberry is optimized for iTunes as well as all podcast hubs. You won't have to worry about expensive contracts or fees. In fact, you won't have to leave your own website. You'll have your own RSS feed and no third-party sites. Try it for a month free by going through Cryptic Chronicles. Also, if you're a fan of cryptic content, please support the show on Patreon. By giving just $1 a month, you can really assist us in posting more content frequently. You'll also have access to bonus ad-free episodes of the show and the Discord channel. To keep up with all Cryptic Chronicles content, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and of course, Facebook. Give the Facebook page a like and join the Cryptic Chronicles group. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for supporting the show, but most of all, thanks for listening.
What about the killers that are so, well, they're frightening because they get away with it for so long because they seem so unassuming. Like Bruce George Peter Lee. Yes, his name is Bruce Lee. He was a British serial killer.
Look that guy up.
He was a British serial killer. He was an arsonist. He was born with like an IQ of 80 and he had physical deformities. Like one of his hands was messed up and stuff. So the guy was just, he was special. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he was touched.
I don't remember exactly how many people he killed, but there was a lot of them. And how he would do it is he would break a window or he would pour gasoline in it or some kind of flammable substance. Or he'd pour a flammable substance inside their mailbox at night and he'd light him on fire, like just light the house on fire. And he'd stay there and watch. And nobody ever suspected him for years.
Now, see, this is why I'm a proponent of the flamethrower, because it never takes a lot of fire to really fuck anything up, you know? I mean, this guy was a total fucking moron. Like you said, he had an IQ of 80. He couldn't get into the military.
Yeah, he was like, he was special. He, the reason that the investigator said that he did have a supreme animal cunning, though. Like, he was very cunning.
That's an odd distinction to make.
Yeah.
An animal cunning versus a literal IQ score. I wonder what that would even imply.
He was just, he got away with it for so long, and he made it seem like it wasn't arson. He made it always seem like it was like a natural thing. And he did something later on that a lot of serial killers do where they get kind of sloppy. Like they have some kind of unconscious desire to get caught or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the only reason he got caught.
The way Richard was caught was he...
Well, they want their deeds to be known.
Many years of expertly disposing of his bodies, he eventually hired to chop somebody up. Chopped up the pharmacist that sold him cyanide, put him in a barrel, and just sat in the barrel outside of his favorite sandwich shop.
Like you were saying earlier about the narcissism.
Yeah, like they start to think they're the shit.
Well, they want their deeds to be known by everybody.
Well, you know,
they think they'll just never get caught.
Somebody who got in the military, and I think is my favorite serial killer, is Christopher Dorner.
Been doing it too long. Sorry.
Is who?
Christopher Dorner.
Explain this Christopher Dorner.
Oh, man. He was, like, former military, turned into a cop, and then he started complaining about all the racism in the police force, and he went out on the street and killed a bunch of cops for, like, a whole week.
He's a serial killer of cops? A cop that's a serial killer of cops?
And then he held
Why isn't that a movie?
Big Bear. He held up in Big Bear inside some shack somewhere, and they fucking firebombed him. And his body was incinerated.
Dude, that's why I'm saying, man, if the shit ever hits the fan, all we need for the insurgency is flamethrowers. They are not prepared for fire.
Do you know what his kill count was by any chance?
Reignites when it dries out.
One sec.
No rush.
Yeah. He killed 5, injured 6 officers. He's a killer.
Yeah.
He was in the military. He joined, I think he joined the LAPD. Yeah. And then there was all kinds of, like, accounts of him complaining about how they were treating him because he was black and how they were treating, you know, detainees.
When was this?
In a racist manner. And, like, nobody did anything about it. So he wrote a manifesto. And,
oh, God. They all have a fucking manifesto.
Yeah, and he said that he was like under unconventional and asymmetric warfare, so he went into action.
He's a missionary killer.
Something like that. He's like a subcategory, I guess, because he definitely
a justice killer.
And he knew how to do this stuff. Like he was a trained and he knew how to get away from these crime scenes without causing a high speed pursuit and like
he knew how smart.
Man,
and
that's
how
the most
dumb
dangerous kind. I mean, think about if like an FBI agent became a serial killer or something, or like a CIA agent. Like, that's scary.
I mean, it probably already happened. Like, even, okay, that shit with Chris Chan that happened a while back.
Oh, God.
You don't know Chris Chan or Christian Weston Chan.
Yes.
He's a big Sonic fan. He made a character called Sonichu. He was very famous on the internet for being very, very dumb all the time. And he's sick in the head. Anyway, he diddled his mom. He got arrested. And the lady who convinced him to do this act had parents in the CIA, and after about a month they committed a pretty decent cover-up operation. You can't find her anywhere on the internet anymore, and any video that is like alludes to say the one where she microwaved the hamster until it popped, if you look for that, you're just going to find a bunch of videos that like barely match its description. It's buried down in there now. So like
those bastards,
yeah, they can totally just make any problem go away.
Yeah. So that you think that Mel, you specifically, do you think that there have been these FBI investigators or CIA people who have been serial killers, but they just cover it up?
Well, I mean, the thing about a serial killer is that they could probably be a really great soldier. You know, if you put a serial killer in the right environment for their country.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for your country.
There might be some killing machines amongst us and we just don't know.
Well, if you're already a sociopath, you're going to be a good soldier.
Probably, right?
Yeah.
You just need to be shaped.
Not necessarily a psychopath, because that could cause issues in the military, but a sociopath, absolutely.
Yeah, you just need your target and you're gonna zero in just fine naturally. Mm-hmm. So
I think you might have sociopath and psychopath backwards, because sociopaths tend to be seen as the angry, more impulsive ones, and psychopaths tend to be seen as those who develop a persona and an entire life around hiding their sociopathic tendencies.
Have you ever read The Science of Evil? It's a book that goes all into this kinds of stuff. And
what's the science?
Well, it says that actually, like, one of the main signs of a sociopath is charisma. And I know that sounds ridiculous because, you know, not all charismatic people are sociopaths, but the majority of sociopaths are charismatic.
Well, no, it's a dark triad trait. Like, people who function well with antisocial personality disorder well enough to deserve a name need to be a little bit funny or friendly or something, you know, seem that way. Glib and superficial.
Like, look at Clowny Boy Gacy. He was one of the most like friendly, charismatic people anyone knew in their
right.
community.
Talk about my friend. Don't talk about Clowny Boy Gacy.
Exactly. But that guy was a sick bastard who would rape boys and bury them under his house.
Yeah. There are a couple of sick.
How many
sick
did he kill? Like 30, right?
Gacy was the one who would smash glass tubes in their urethra. He also had accomplices sometimes. Gacy, like, leans... I'm sorry, it's fascinating because he leans so hard into the fucking clown thing that he would kidnap kids who worked at his own contracting company. Nobody just fucking investigated him.
That
he kidnapped
story
them
is
with
so dark and depressing.
He kidnapped them with a quote-unquote rope trick. He was so much of a fucking clown that he had a magic trick that he caught these people with.
His M.O. was he would trick them to handcuff themselves. Totally. That was what he did with almost all his victims, is he would trick them into putting themselves in some kind of bondage.
I mean, look, I get it. It was a different time, but also like, here, put this gun to your head. Here, put this scalpel on
your
head.
Well, how charismatic do you gotta be to get somebody to do that to themselves, right? Like, you gotta be pretty charismatic.
Yeah, and you gotta pick the right fucking person.
Yeah, well, he would kill his own employees, dude. Like, he would purposely hire teenage boys and kill them.
He was also like the chairman of he had some kind of position in the Democratic Party.
Oh no, he was trying to. What he had was, he was a part of the JCs, which was like a community thing, and it had connections to the Democrat Party. And he was trying to get in good because he did want to go into politics. What kind of ruined that for him was when he was hired to clean the DNC office or whatever in the area that he was in Chicago, right? He's in Chicago?
Outside of Chicago, yeah.
Yeah. he was trying to seduce the kids during it, and he got caught, and that kind of ruined his political career.
Yeah.
Back then, you could go to jail for sodomy.
We don't want any queers in the Democratic Party.
You have to remember that back then, people would go to jail for sodomy.
No, yeah, the last sodomy case was in 2003.
Which is insane to think about, right? It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's not that long ago.
No, yeah, it's not.
One of Gacy's charges officially is sodomy. Multiple counts of sodomy.
Yeah, he went to prison for it, but he didn't serve all his time because he got off for good behavior way early. But yeah, that was his first prison sentence, I believe.
Yeah.
So do you guys know of any of the top five serial killers with the highest kill count?
I thought Richard Kuklinski would be one of them. If it's not that, I need to hear it.
I mean, Ted Bundy has got to be in there, but I don't know.
Yes, kill count is something I never particularly kept tabs on.
Yeah, because it's kind of more how things went down in the story behind it that I personally find more interesting. But when, when it comes down to kill count, yeah, there's actually none of them are Americans.
I need some romance, you know?
Yeah, but not one of the serial killers with the highest kill counts, none of them are Americans.
Are more than one of them the same nationality, and did they have a similar skull shape?
Most of them are from South America.
Ah.
So we got Luis Garavito, who is number one, who has 300 plus kills. It was known as Luis Alfredo Garavito, the Beast.
The Beast!
And he murdered boys in the 90s.
It's not very beastly of him.
Oh, when you see the details behind it, it gets pretty grisly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to go into details. Messed up.
Do you mean you don't want to go into details? I will look it
he
up.
He would rape, murder, torture boys.
You anything creative? Did he do it creatively? Or did it just kind of like, you know,
honestly, it's probably pretty creative and disturbing. He thought that he would own their souls after he killed them. And he could
kind of like a Dahmer.
He could absorb their souls to become like a superior being. Like the guy was crazy. He thought that he could eat their souls, basically.
Bones of iron.
Yeah, he thought that he was Shang Tsung or something from Mortal Kombat. Yeah. Your soul is mine.
I'm sorry. So for those of you who aren't in the know, there's this guy that Malachor and I know of. He joined a chat once after begging to and claimed that he was a fella named Bifrons. If you know, you know. And he started playing arpeggios very quickly on a keyboard and basically telling us his school shooter plans for when he turns 110 and becomes a magical vampire beast. And he's going to have bones like iron, and he's going to come through your door at 3 a.m. And according to him, you had it coming.
Is that something that really happened to you guys?
I don't know if we still have a recording of it or not, but yes.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, that guy, they probably got some similarities then, huh?
He's the Beast. The Beast is a vampire. Beast is a vampire.
Okay, and number two is Pedro Lopez. With 110 confirmed kills, but people suspect that it's much higher.
Okay.
He's called the Monster from the Andes, is his serial killer name.
Wow, from the Andes. We can't have two beasts. We can't have two beasts going around. What's his name again? Pedro?
His name is Pedro Alonso Lopez from Santa Isabel, Colombia. Some people say he killed up to 400, but there's only 110 confirmed. Most likely it's somewhere in the middle, so he's probably killed around like 250 to 300. Is what most
is he one
think.
Of those that that may be exaggerating his kill count?
No, because he wouldn't really admit to it what he would do. He didn't care about that. So people think that he killed more than
what
he was pinned for.
What I find funnier is right next to all these pictures of the 74-year-old murderer is apparently a middle-aged man who has an important role in FIFA, and he looks very happy. And that's the first picture that comes up.
Is it? You looked it up?
Yeah, I looked it up because I wanted to see what he did.
Yeah, he's a sadistic. I don't want to get into detail.
Child rapist.
Yes. Yes. Sadly, like the majority of these people in the top five are that.
Oh, and he's vehicle theft conviction. Yeah.
The next one.
I don't understand why people ever can't just like kill somebody. We don't have to fuck before we kill them.
this. Who knows, man? Animals and humans, we got a lot in common. And the third one is...
Animals tend to kill without f***.
Yeah, but they can be pretty sadistic. You ever seen a cat kill a mouse, dude? They elongate as long as possible. And then you see insects killing other insects. They'll eat the feet first, all the way up. They'll eat like the most unlethal parts first so that they eat the thing alive. Like,
yeah, so yeah, you get the blood is still alive and you drink it. You got to get some of that spirit juice in there.
What a world. Yeah, the spirit juice. Okay, the third one. Let me go to the third one. Okay, the third one is... Oh, you're fine. Daniel Camargo Barbosa. 72 confirmed kills, possible 150. And his serial killer name is the sadist of... Wait, I don't know how to say this. The sadist of Chanquito.
God, you're going too fast for me to see these people's terrible crimes. God damn it, another
Daniel
rapist.
Daniel Camargo Barbosa.
Criminal penalty, 25-year sentence, 16-year sentence.
He liked to use a machete, but he also liked to strangulate and use a knife.
I would rather be strangled than have the machete. Machetes are fucking brutal. You know, I wonder if it's still around, but you used to be able to look up videos of machete fights
my God.
On YouTube.
I remember that those shit. Days. Oh, God. So guess what Barbados preyed on? Or Barbosa, I mean.
Young girls.
Yeah, I told you these guys are fuckers. Okay, the fourth one is going to be interesting because it's going to remind you of a TV show that was kind of popular back in the day, Dexter. Remember Dexter?
Wow, yeah, back in the day.
So this guy, Pedro Rodriguez, Filho, only killed other serial killers.
There were enough serial killers?
Yeah. And his, there's a lot, dude, especially in South America. And his serial killer name was Killer Petey or Pedrino Matador. This guy was born into a world of violence. But what's fascinating about him is he didn't kill innocent people. So
his eyes are very far apart. I'm sorry. That's my
looks
one
like a boxer.
Analysis of this man.
He looks pretty rough. But yeah, he's cool because he killed other killers. And then people would get sent to prison, and if like a killer or somebody with a big kill count like him, he would kill them, specifically like pedophile child murderers and stuff like that, serial killers.
Did he do it to prove his dominance or he do it?
He just likes killing evil people. He's still alive, I believe.
No, he is deceased. He was shot.
Oh, no. Poor guy. That guy is probably one of the coolest serial killers, huh?
Yeah, it makes me wonder how fucked up his murders themselves were. At about 10 a.m. on March. What the fuck? Yeah, March 5th, 2023, Rodriguez was shot and killed by two men firing from a car in Mogi das Cruzes. I can't roll an R. Fuck you. Who then fled in another car. No suspects have been arrested. He had a Reformation and YouTube career.
I didn't know any of that.
Since his second release from prison in 2018, after announcing himself to be retired from his self-declared vigilantism as youth and officially committed to not commit any more crimes, Rodriguez became a YouTuber, maintaining a YouTube channel named Pedrino X Matador, commenting on modern crimes, campaigning against gang violence, and teaching the public not to be proud of criminal acts. God, that's fucking fascinating.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
That's cooler than OJ's Instagram.
All right, and the final one that with the highest kill count is Kampatimar Shankaria. 70 confirmed kills. He's from India.
I've heard about
him. I believe he used a hammer, right?
I don't remember. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
You got to look it up, man. You got to describe what he did. Prolific Indian serial killer. Here we go. This has to be interesting. You know, you never know how exotic the people on the other side.
He was a disorganized killer.
Murder.
Yeah, totally.
Those people over there.
I think he's the only disorganized killer on this list.
Was he also known as Cyanide Mohan?
Let me see. I did not write down his. He's the only one I didn't write down his serial killer name. Do you know?
I need to know. Did he lop off people's limbs with a chakram? Did he use one of those Sikh knives to give him a taint, a second taint, a third taint, fourth taint?
He's the most mysterious out of all of them.
Oh, so we don't know how he kills us.
Yeah.
He probably has a second ring in the back of his throat.
I looked it up.
He
would bludgeon people on their neck with a hammer.
Oh, nice.
Neck.
Yeah, he would kill people by hitting them in the neck with a hammer.
Bro, it reminds me of that guy I saw with his jaw caved into the back of his throat. He made the morticians throw up.
Yikes. Yeah, but and he was me. He would just kill whoever, wrong place at the wrong time. Disorganized killer.
Yeah. Did he at least tell them, give me your lunch money first? Did he at least have the courtesy to give him a, give me your lunch money?
Before See, the he, thing you know, is that this guy's from India, throat. And India, dude, they don't share this type of information with people outside of India.
Oh, okay, but they still speak English, like that phrase, give me your lunch money, is around though, like, he could have thrown that out there.
I don't know, that if there's more to this story, but we just don't have it, because the Indian government does not share that information with outsiders. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't count. He didn't get to count.
The other interesting thing about this guy, this hammer killer, is he only killed for a year.
He's almost like a spree killer then.
He killed all those people in the span of a year. That's some dedication and hard work.
Now, you know, a hammer really makes things quick. I don't know about hard work, but definitely some dedication. Did he hit him in the front of the neck or the back? Did he, like,
doesn't
mean, like,
specify.
He bludgeoned their throat?
Hold on, let me look a little bit closer.
I always figured it'd be one of the most things you could do to somebody, hit him in the throat with a club or the teeth.
I mean, I'm sure I could find it if I looked deeper into it on other websites, but it just says hit him in the neck with a hammer here.
Wow.
Bludgeon them with a hammer in their neck. So it could be anywhere on their neck.
I wonder if he had any, like, a specific kind of neck that he liked to bludgeon, you know? Like, if I would look out and see those people out that are, like, really lanky with an abnormally long neck, you know, because they don't have any trapezius muscles, they don't have any deltoids. I would hit that neck, because that would be a very, like, it'd be a very bendy, floppity neck to hit. Kind of like
definitely a unique murder tool, like a favorite murder tool to use.
What, a hammer?
Yeah.
Oh, no, man, a hammer is the most common murder weapon in the United States.
Really? It's not like a knife or something?
Nah, man. A hammer just makes it, it's, I'm of the opinion that it would be easier to kill somebody with a hammer than with a knife, even, and potentially quicker, you know? And the thing is, like, wherever you hit somebody with a hammer, you're going to break something.
So
you hit him in the ribs, you
he
break
would
a rib.
Mostly just ambush people is how he killed people.
What a dick. That's not even, he's just a chimpanzee.
Yeah, he would just pop out and hit you in the neck with a hammer.
That guy is, like, literally a wild animal, like a mountain lion or a fucking bear. Like, this, buh. Lame.
70 kills in the span of a year. Holy shit.
Okay.
It's you don't think that's impressive? What do you think, Mal?
I think the interesting about this whole thing is, especially how a lot of this data about this particular guy doesn't get out to the public, is that there's probably somebody out there with a higher kill count that we just don't know about.
Because oh, you know smart. It. Yeah. Well, most serial killers, they can't stand not getting caught. Like, there's, like, this unconscious desire for them to get caught. Who's a serial killer that you can think of that hasn't got caught that is, like, super famous? The Zodiac Killer, right?
Right.
Who else?
I mean, probably a professional. The person we're talking about is probably a professional.
Like a assassin?
Yeah. Somebody who's just really fucking good at what they do.
Yeah, but, like, 99% of serial killers, they almost get caught on purpose.
Right. I'm just saying that the highest kill count out there is somebody that doesn't want you to know.
That's true. Probably some billionaire.
I don't know, man.
Hunts people on his island.
Soft. They have soft hands.
No,
if they
big
are
game
doing
hunter.
The killing, they're having people delivered to them, and then they kill them, which I think, no,
the most dangerous game.
Go out looking for them.
There's nobody that's more dangerous to hunt than a human, right?
Dude, totally.
A jaguar, maybe.
I wonder if I would be able to kill General Zaroff. I think
what?
I would. I would be able to chew a stick down to a point and just wait.
Who's General Zaroff?
Wait in the puddle of my own excrement.
Who's
General Zaroff?
Who is that?
He's the guy from The Most Dangerous Game. He's the general.
Oh.
Hunts man.
I don't think I've seen that. I'm just going off of stuff that I've heard over the years. I don't know. Have you ever seen The Pest? The movie The Pest? I think that's what comes to mind the most. Yeah, Mal's seen it.
Mankind, man is the most dangerous game, but the most dangerous game is this manhunt.
The Pest is the best movie ever. Go
it's
watch
The
Pest.
Worst.
I loved
so
that movie
bad.
When I was a kid, dude. I'll watch it over and over.
And then I tried watching it, and then no.
All right, here's my favorite serial killer. I've got it right now.
Go for it.
No Country for Old Men, Anton Chigurh. He's not a real one, but man, he's the coolest one.
Yeah, that guy's a force of nature.
I didn't do it, but coin did.
Well, what do I stand to gain? You stand to gain everything. Don't toss the coin. It's been traveling here. It's taken 23 years to get here.
He's definitely the most interesting.
And it's either hither or stains.
Probably out of all the movie serial killers, he's the most interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's fucking Coen Brothers villain, man. Like, that just makes him cool. It's because he's Coen Brothers, man.
Yeah.
And I'm a Coen Brothers fan. I can't use no bop, fop. I'm a Dapper Dan, man.
What about you, Mel? You got any favorite serial killer from movies?
From comics, it would be Carnage.
Oh, is Carnage a serial killer?
Yeah.
Cletus Cassidy is. Yeah.
Cletus?
That's his name.
Cletus. You know, if I was named Cletus in 2023, I'd be killing some motherfuckers too. When's the last time you run into a motherfucker named Cletus?
Never.
Yeah. Carnage is cool because he's literally like, the way they say his symbiote looks is like meat. And he makes like meat weapons with his body. He stabs you with it.
Yeah, Carnage can just make like axes and swords and knives out of his fingers.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I had a Carnage action figure because I thought he was the coolest one, but I didn't know that he was like that. He's kind of an asshole when you put it that way.
Yeah, whenever you see him in any media that's not like the comics, they usually kind of like censor him, vanilla him up, you know? Make him not as evil.
What about the Punisher? Why don't they don't give the Punisher the same treatment because he's a war vet,
he's definitely
cool
a sociopath.
Dude, I love that scene in Punisher 2 where he shoves those motherfuckers into the glass crusher.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does that to Jigsaw, right?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. I was like fucking 12 when I saw that.
Yeah, that's how Jigsaw is created. This guy is like, because he went through the glass and his face is just all screwed up and they like sewed his skin back together so his face looks like a Jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah. And then he, you know, he cries sometimes at night because his friends won't keep referring to the facial deformity that prevents him from having a loving relationship.
I think at that point, his wiener wouldn't work, though.
He could have been wearing a cup.
I highly doubt it. I think that his balls and wiener are probably Jigsaw's, too.
Jesus, I never... they probably fucked up and sewed a testicle to the tip of his dick.
Who knows, man? All right, guys. Well, that's all I got for today. You got any outro stuff you want to say? Like, you got any links to your things you want to say?
Yeah. If any of you want to watch some fucking shoddily made fake television with a bunch of Adult Swim shows you haven't seen in 20 years, here, look it up. I got to find it again. God damn it.
There will be a link of what he's talking about in the details of this episode.
Yes. Come check out F Mountain TV, now known as F Mountain 64, formerly known as F Mountain Syndrome.
Just send me a link of it. What about you, Mal?
Well, if you haven't heard, I'm a host on The Whole Rabbit, and there's some past episodes with Dinkus on it, so you can go check out our full catalog at The Whole Rabbit on all streaming platforms.
Yes, and if you check it out, I was able to form complete sentences back then.
There will be a link to it in the details of this episode. Hey, thanks for joining me, guys. Mal, thanks for coming in. If you ever see us doing stuff in here, feel free to just hop right in.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today's episode. If you enjoyed it, make sure to go check out Mal and Dingus' stuff. You know where to find the links. Cryptic Chronicles is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and basically all podcast hubs. You look for us and we're there. If you can, listener, please make sure to share this with a friend on social media, another free thinker like you. Help grow the show, and we will be best friends forever. No hugging, though. And as always, I'd like to thank my current supporters, MJ Calvo, Adrian, John, Celestial Weavers, Alien X, Lorna Grubb, Linda Gonzalez, Angela Delaire, Ashley, Brad Herbert, Lawrence Lee, Patricia Coles, Kayla, Max, Michael Worrell, Jimmy Woods, Rodius, Sophia Owens, Scott Wellman, Beware the Q, Ashley Thompson, Matt Poland, Johnny Wick, DeYale Adams, Danny Van Heck, Carnage, Jesse Leach, Austin Monday, Michael Graham, Ed Hawks, Trusty Old Senpai, Lex Lazarus, Brian Nolan, Jared, Matthew Lawson, Jismic, Space Coin, Gary Hetzel, Tom McClurney, Colton Spenner, Justin, Miyamoto Musashi, Jeremy Gross, Psychic Terror, Jacob, Neil McBride, Cameron Sanders, Robin Van Patten, Ryan L., Bleed Gray, Rosalinda Gonzalez, Jonathan Jackson, Brandon Wigglesworth, Cody George, Anita Don, TD777, Emily Schmemely, Sphinx314, 6-1, and Dane Hegelson. And as one of the serial killers with the highest kill count once said, "I have murdered in vain. Nobody should become like me."